Triple option coming back at you this week. We're going to talk a little bit Purdue basketball again. Some Indiana Pacers. We're going to make fun of Cleveland, which is a kind of a recurring thing for these podcasts. And then, obviously, one of the big headlines is the Northwestern players wanting to unionize. We're going to save that for the end because it's kind of the in-depth thing. So starting with Purdue, they went to Michigan, number 10 Michigan, and it's the same story. They play okay for the first... Actually, it's not even the same story. They played okay for the first half of the first half. They played awful for the second half of the first half. Michigan gets up big by about 15, 17 points in the second half and kind of just coasts, and Purdue ends up losing by like 9 or 10. I mean, don't get me wrong, Michigan is a top 10 team, but if you look around the Big Ten, especially just past week or two, Northwestern goes to Wisconsin and win. Penn State, who didn't have a win, goes to Ohio State and wins. Nebraska beats Indiana at home. And, you know, obviously, I talked about this at the beginning, that the Big Ten was going, people were going to beat each other, but you all of a sudden, almost everybody else in the Big Ten has a much more signature win than Purdue. Purdue's best win this season is what? Beating Illinois at Illinois? Is that the best win?
At Illinois in the Big Ten, and then West Virginia in the pre-conference, and it's, you know, this team just... It can only beat inferior teams, and then it even struggles. Watching Purdue is kind of like taking a screwdriver and ramming it in your eye. You know?
No, I agree.
You know that it. You know you shouldn't be doing it, but you do it anyway. I don't know what to make of them. It's inexplicable to try to talk about because, like you said, everybody's beating a team better than them. Clearly, I think Michigan State's the top. Maybe Michigan. Then you got maybe the second tier is Michigan, Iowa. I suppose Wisconsin. I don't buy Ohio State. I'd say those three, and then you got basically everybody else. Purdue could try to be the top of that third tier, but they can't beat anybody remotely good at home, and they certainly can't beat anybody good on the road. And you know, we'll see tomorrow when they go to Penn State, because a month ago you would have thought this was a W. I don't know now.
Well, I just want to say that I started out trying to buy into the season, but what Pops has harped on all season that they're not basketball smart, is factual. They make stupid, stupid plays. You should almost never, and by almost never, I mean like 999 times out of 1,000, no one should ever step in the lane during a free throw. Purdue manages to do it at a crucial time. It could have been, Tyrone Johnson made that free throw. You could have been down 4 at half as opposed to 8 because Michigan goes down the other and gets a layup, right, as the buzzer. They make stupid, stupid plays. They want to take 3-point, what, they were like 5 for 16 from the free throw line, and 2 for 14 from the three-pointers. How many times do you have to miss three-pointers before you realize you should stop shooting them? Because Purdue's been missing them all season.
I would think that if I was the coach and my guys were like 2 for 19, I would say, stop shooting it! You know, it's shooters are having off nights. Purdue's had an off season. Gotta tell you, it's not something you should do. And they moved the three-point line back to try to make it so that the guys that are really could actually shoot the three can. But when you've got everybody chucking it up, you have no offense. I'm looking at the standings right now. Iowa's in third place at 5-3. Illinois and Penn State is in the basement 2-6. You're talking three games separating 10 teams. Michigan 8-0, Michigan State 8-1. Purdue's at 3-5, which means, again, they could be in somewhere near up towards the top because, Northwestern's 4-5 all of a sudden. Who would have thunk that? Ohio State's 3-5. Minnesota's 4-4. Wisconsin's have been exposed. They're 4-4. All four losses have been in the Big Ten Conference because they don't really play anybody.
Wisconsin lost to Ohio State. They're 4-5.
I don't know. I'm going to blame Painter because it's either he can't coach or he can't recruit. I mean, you could pick a lane. But frankly, I'm driving in both because I don't think he could recruit, and I just don't think he coaches that good.
Tyler, your thoughts is you obviously listened to the Michigan game, and just I don't know, it's hard not to be in line with Pops on the I don't want to say negativity because they're bad, but now it's bordering on becoming cynical because they just are bad.
It gets to a point where you just don't say, all right, you can't shoot the ball unless you're in the paint, and that's all he's like. That's where you can shoot the ball. Everybody else out, you're not allowed to shoot anymore. How do you go, it was 5 of 15? The three-pointing thing makes me mad, but how are you that bad at free throws? They're giving you points, literally, and you still screw it up. That is like if you're in football, the defense walks off the field and say, hey, you got a free play, we're going to go sit down for a while, and you fumble the ball still.
It's not a surprise. I mean, Painter squads, the baby boiler squads, I think those teams shot free throws well. Robbie Hummel senior, I think they shot pretty well because Smith was a 90% free throw shooter. Hummel was a 90% free throw shooter, and DJ Bird was pretty good. Then those two graduated, and it's nobody on the team can shoot above 60 apparently. And Pops, is that something to be said about just kids in basketball now, that that's a fundamental skill that nobody wants to know anymore? Because I feel like that's something, if you can go to the hole and get fouled, you can make a living making free throws.
First of all, I don't think this is cynical or pessimistic. It's realistic. This team is not that good. I've been kind of on that side of the bandwagon all year, but I would think that it's as much concentrating and paying attention, because my guess is, if Painter has a brain in his head, he's probably gotten him shooting free throws extra, and they probably make him in practice. But when you get to the line, it's either you're not concentrating or you just can't handle the pressure. And I think, you know, these guys have been playing basketball 15 years. I mean, he constantly assembles teams that can't shoot. They don't play defense well. They don't handle the ball well. Their defense is questionable. I mean, he has maybe one outside shooter, but everybody apparently is open the minute they get up and take their warm-ups off, but yet they can't shoot. It drives me crazy, because one of the hallmarks of the Gene Katie teams, I know this for your guys, as I told you, they always had more made free throws than their opponents had attempted free throws. It's because they got down low and drew fouls, and that opens up the middle, and it gets people in trouble. But it also makes it easier than trying to hit a jump shot, which, you could get a jump shot about any time you want.
Oh, yeah.
I hate when you one possession, a pass, you're chucking a three. It's a wasted possession. But Painter, to me, is on the hot seat, because this team has shown no improvement. Last year, they at least saw some improvement, because they were 7-6 in pre-Big Ten and a schedule that really wasn't that good. And then they were fairly competitive in the Big Ten, but this team was, what, 10-3 in pre-conference, and now they're 3-5. And like I said, I've been saying pretty much all year, I think this is, at best, an NIT team.
Is it even I mean, obviously they can run the table, but realistically, just for scenario's sake, how many of the last conference games they have, because they got like 7 or 8 left, I think, do they have to win for them to be a threat with, let's say, 1 or 2 wins in the conference tournament to get in? At least 5, 6 of them?
No, I thought they were going to have to go 10-8. That means you won 7 of 8. Because if you go 9-7, you're talking about 6-4 at the end. That makes you 17-12. And I just don't think, if Purdue had a tough schedule, you could probably get in. But with the pre-Big Ten, no, I'm sorry, that's just not good enough. I ain't going to get it.
Well, they still have some ranked opponents left. Does a win over, if you go 6-4 and get a couple of those wins? Because besides Penn State, I think they got, they have Iowa still. I think they get Michigan State and one of Ohio State or Wisconsin again. Are those wins, what are the 8-2 or what?
I still think you got to win 10 games in the Big Ten, and that'd make you 7, and win 7 out of your last 8. That'd make you 7-3, excuse me, if I'm going to get into my math. That'd make you 20-11, and if you can win one in the conference, that'd make you 21. And I think the only reason I say that is because their wins are nondescript. You haven't beat anybody of notice, because the committee takes care of that. Who are your wins of note? How have you been playing towards the end? And if Purdue did that, that'd be the check. But their best win was over Virginia teams. I don't even know what they were. They were 7-5 at the time. To answer your question, yeah, they can. But where can you hang your hat to say that that's even possible?
No, I agree. All right, let's move on from bad basketball to good basketball. I wouldn't call it a major headline, but I would call it a bit of a surprise, because I didn't think they'd be in the running for him. But the Indiana Pacers signed Andrew Bynum to a $1 million deal for the rest of the season. And I've been talking to some Pacers fans, and you know, everyone, of course, you like the low-risk, high-reward possibility. If you can find a healthy Andrew Bynum that can just play 10 to 15 minutes a night, you just became super dangerous because you put him behind Rory Hibbert. But I also heard that some people think that they're just signing him to stash him on the bench and keep him away from the Heat, because he's one of few big men that can physically match up with the Pacers' size. Pops, is it the former or the latter?
I think it could be both, but I think it's mostly to keep him away from the Heat. The Heat have been kind of in that mid-season lull where they're just bored, bored, not to mention Wade has a chronic condition. He's not going to get any better, and he will not play back-to-backs maybe until the playoffs if they have anything. Oklahoma City come in without Westbrook and just punched him right in the mouth Wednesday night. Does that mean anything? I don't know. I still think with LeBron, you're dangerous. I think for the Pacers, it makes you stronger while it keeps a potential guy, because the Heat have gone out and signed guys like these. Chris Anderson last year was a perfect example. Come on and really helped him in the middle. Yeah, he can make your team deeper, but you're also keeping him from your opponent, which is kind of something like, and you'll see in baseball, like during the waiver claims, the team will block a player because if they think maybe their division opponent is going to get him, they don't want them to get him. This is pretty cheap, $1 million a year. And, you know, for that, you're getting a stiff. I don't know if Vogel's the type to get anything out of Bynum. I think Phil Jackson is, because Jackson understands the psychology of the player. But even if you keep from the Heat, I think it's a good pickup.
Ty, let me get your thoughts initially on the signing. Do you think they're hoping to get anything from him, or do you just think they're just keeping away from everybody else?
I think they want both, but if they had to have priorities, it would be the Heat thing. Although I did read that it looked like the Heat weren't for sure, especially because Greg Oden's been looking better, and they're intrigued on if he'll end up pandering out and looking good. But I guess it's basically they want to keep him from the Heat, and there'll be I'd say they have low expectations, and that he can only rise above them, because if I was them, I would go in and be like, all right, we expect you not to play at all. Why don't you break those expectations?
Is this kind of the perfect situation for it, Pops? Because, you know, you look at the Cleveland teams and the Philly teams, and I'm not going to argue they were bad teams. I think they were young teams who, especially Philly, I know that Rose got hurt in that series, but they made it to the second round. They were looking for someone to take them to the next level up. And same thing with Cleveland. They didn't make it to the playoffs, but they've been looking for someone to help them break through. So I think they wanted Bynum to kind of be a leader. And that was a bad idea because he's a young guy and he's immature himself. But in Pacers, it's a tight group that's pretty much, the core has been around for several years. They're really close. They know what they want. They're focused. They're disciplined. I mean, I don't think they'll have any problems in jettisoning him if he's all of a sudden a pain in the ass again.
Well, I think they're going to have to, because that's the only concern here, is that this guy comes in and somehow upsets the apple cart, because the Pacers have been playing well, and Vogel has them down to a science, understands his team. Now you bring this guy in who's only one coach that really has gotten through to him, and that's Phil Jackson. You hope that they are quick to pull the trigger, and since Bird is like president of that team, you hope if you have to, you bring Bird down, get him in a room, and I don't think you want to piss off Larry Bird, because he's played the game, won championships, but you hope between Bird, and Vogel and the GM that they could set this guy down, said we're going to give you a chance, but we're going to take any crap. It's kind of like the time Tyler and I went to see Sherlock Holmes. And we come out of it, and I told Tyler, I said that it was better than I had expected, but of course, what I had, no, my expectations were nothing. So, I mean, it's kind of, you hope that it can only go up.
Tyler, just any last-second thoughts on Andrew Bynum?
Not on Andrew Bynum. That would be Sherlock Holmes-related, but I think that's not appropriate right now.
All right, so...
Tyler, that's never stopped you from interdicting a point or opinion.
Well, he's saving for this next topic. Tyler specifically wanted to talk about, I believe, the latest coaches hiring, because I think there's been nothing else since. So, Todd, go ahead.
Well, after Kyle Shanahan tried to get many jobs, he finally conned Michael Lombardi into giving him a job, which it just seems like Michael Lombardi is just trying to piece together famous or maybe coaches tied to other coaches he has a man crush on, such as Shanahan and Belichick. I like the Patine one. I hate this hiring, because nothing has ever been said good about him from inside the Washington organization. He's just a prick, and he is a daddy's boy, and he bitches when he doesn't get what he wants.
So you would almost say, Tyler, than hiring, what's this guy's name, Mike?
Patine,
that Cleveland screwed up in reverse and got it right, but yet now they're back on track, and they screwed up another hire and hiring this Shanahan, who is an idiot.
The problem was that they couldn't get anybody to find, and so they gave the job to anybody who'd take it. And Patine actually was a in-the-rough guy that was coming up. There's some many things that have been said good about him. There was apparently a book written about the Jets. I think it was in 2011 or something like that. And a lot of people really, really like him. I guess you would say he was similar to kind of like Rick Hahn, I guess, with the White Sox, where people really liked him. Some people knew about him, some people didn't, and he was kind of been in the rough. And I think that Kyle Shanahan is that the management doesn't care what the coach wants. I don't think they care what Patine does. I'm pretty sure they're forcing him on him. I'm pretty sure the quarterback they're going to draft for him, they're going to force on him too. And I think Shanahan, and it seems like Manziel is the quarterback Shanahan wants, are going to drive that team right in the ground.
Well, maybe it's kind of, they've already made draft day, which is Kevin Costner playing the Cleveland Browns GMs. And remember the story I told you. he got down to the two worst organizations in his mind, who's going to model this on, Buffalo and Cleveland. When he picked Cleveland, Buffalo fans are upset. Maybe they're going to do another retake. Now it's called firing day, where they just go out and get the stupidest hire of, so they can turn around and fire him before, what, like 6 months into his contract.
I forgot about, there's a story that was being told on ESPN. Patine's daughter's on Twitter and apparently made a comment to one of her friends. Yeah, the interview went great. He's got a second one tomorrow. It's the Cleveland Browns, but you got to start somewhere. So even his daughter disrespected the Cleveland Browns. Pops, what do you think? Because everyone's tied Manziel to Cleveland. It doesn't mean anything, but you know, at this day and age, when you have guys like Adam Schefter, who I think know what moves are going to be before teams know what the moves are, I got to think that's solidly know what.
I 100% disagree. 100% disagree in that they don't, because a lot of people tie this draft, the similarities are to the 2011 draft, where everybody was tying the Carolina Panthers to, what was his name? Hold on. Is the Clemson defensive end? He's in Tampa Bay right now.
Bowers.
And there's a defensive tackle coming at that. Darius, the guy that was the Bills. Everybody was tying those two to those two guys, and they said no one wanted to fall in love with the quarterbacks, and they did. And I think it's very similar, especially because I say that Adam Schefter, I respect. Mike Mayock, I do not respect at all. This is Mike Mayock last draft. All right, well, everybody, listen to me. I'm going to call this next pick. It's going to be, I'm just throwing a name out here. I don't know. All right, I'll say it's like the Bills. All right, he was like, I'm going to call this next pick. It's going to be looking for Sheldon Richardson going to the Bills. I'm just saying. And then it was like Buffalo Bills select EJ Manuel. And Mike Mayock's like, I called it. I said EJ Manuel the entire time, folks. Where were you listening?
I didn't say it was foolproof. I'm just saying in this day and age that
he got everything wrong.
I'm not talking about Mayock. I'm just talking about the way that people get out information. Regardless, a lot of people have tied the Cleveland Browns with Manziel. Shanahan couldn't get RG3 to work.
I never thought that Manziel was projected to go in the first round. I mean, how is
your
this
boy Kuiper has him projected to go first and fourth on his best board?
I disagree. I just don't think this guy has it.
You disagree he will or disagree he should?
I'm just not that convinced he's going to go that high, and I'm not that convinced on him, period. I mean, Kuiper, if you ever saw one of the better interviews, I think it was the Colts GM, I can't remember his name, and just ripped Kuiper about 15 years ago. About him projecting picks, and I can't think of the pole unit. I think I'm going to say it's pole unit. It just ripped him. But
it's all right. Pole unit's a pudwack who drove that Colts team on the ground.
You know, I could have swore I saw that Houston had a big, somebody up in Houston put a big billboard up asking O'Brien to take Manziel. I mean,
yeah, but
who's
I think O'Brien's
this?
Smarter than that.
No, I think he is too. I mean, but who's driving this? We got to get Johnny Manziel into the NFL in the first round. I mean, who's behind this?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what the rumors are.
I mean, do you really think Christian Ponder, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert deserve to go in the first round?
No, and I told you about Ponder, and you said, oh, you're wrong. I said, no, he's not that good.
I think he's better than you think, but
again, I have low expectations. That's called a Tom Mudger argument, okay?
I'm saying the difference is that people fall in love with quarterbacks. That, and I'm assuming one of the first three picks is going to be quarterbacks. The rest of the 10 are going to go, oh my God, quarterbacks are going. Everybody, take the guy from Stanford State University from, like, Canada.
All
take
right.
that guy.
Since this guy is your guy, Tyler, do they have a quarterback?
Whoa.
You're the one to mock Cleveland until they hired this guy, and you're like, I can't do it.
I never said anything about Manziel.
That's what I'm saying. Patine's your guy. What I'm asking is, do they have a quarterback coach?
I don't know.
How dedicated do you think Tyler is to following the Cleveland Browns?
I'm going to say
they're
probably
his team
no.
all of a sudden with Patine. But
I like the hiring. I don't know. I doubt they have a quarterback. Do you think they have a quarterback coach and an offensive coordinator? I'm pretty sure everybody basically got fired and they're starting over.
But you're convinced that Shanahan was hired by the front office,
yeah,
and not Patine.
I think they're forcing it. I think they're going to force a quarterback on him. I don't think he likes. I don't. Do you honestly think Patine has been described as a very level-headed, hardworking, just basically an all-around great guy, a good coach. People love him. Just like basically, he sounds kind of like how people like said Mike McCoy sounded at Denver. They said everybody loves him, great guy, hardworking, blah, blah, blah. Do you really think he wants Kyle Shanahan around there with all the crap to hear
about
him?
Maybe there's something that they drink or eat in Cleveland that makes you stupid. I mean, I can't rule that out.
Let's move on to the big fish for this week is the unionization of the Northwestern players wanting to be in a union. And there's a lot of information. I think there's a lot of misinformation because a lot of people automatically assume, oh, they want money. And from what I've heard from credible sources, it wasn't about a salary. The players want a say in their future at organization, in their future in college. They want medical insurance, which obviously is a given with the dangers of football. They want their scholarships to be guaranteed so they don't feel like they're going on a year-to-year basis. And I think the biggest thing that I think is the most impressive, well, maybe not the biggest thing, but one of the more impressive things is this has been being led by Coulter, right? Kane Coulter, the QB, who's not even going to be at Northwestern. He just determined that it's something he thinks needs to be done, and that's what he's doing, and I think that's rather impressive. Tyler, this kind of seems up your alley legally-wise. I don't know why, but what are your thoughts?
Wait a minute, I thought he was a doctor. How did he become the expert of law all
He's
of a
the
sudden?
Legal counsel as well.
Oh, that's right. Tyler's going to be a doctor and a judge at the same time. He'll run out.
I am the triple option three sports gun legal consultant.
Whatever.
If you would comment on it, you can. Describing unions and legalization and picketing
go.
And whatnot.
Just go.
Various,
Tyler,
various,
before you start addressing and patting yourself on the back, just go.
To me, it makes sense. It's worth asking. From what I heard, the NCAA fired back. It's not like basically this is the NCAA fired back with a gusto that the government could pat them on the back with spreading lies like nobody's business. I mean, I think Pops would agree on this, that the NCAA just started spreading lies to the level of congressmen, that they're just like, oh my God, this is a good idea, it hurts us. Everybody lie, say that they do what Northwestern wants to steal babies and eat them. Just do anything you can, but spread the truth.
Because you understand that this will cost money, and whether your point, Blair, that it's not about money, eventually it will be about a stipend. Because if another thing that a lot of players say is they can't get a job when they're an athlete. They don't have spending money. So therefore, they're starting with a say on being on their scholarship year to year. They also want to say, and like you said, medical insurance, but kind of the schedule and stuff. But a stipend will have to be part of this because a lot of these kids come from poor neighborhoods. They don't have money. They have an athletic scholarship, which, you know, you could argue some players take advantage of it, but most of the players out of the poorer sections, the black kids that come from the ghettos, they don't give a damn about the education. They want to get the NFL and make all that money. So what is the value of an education to them?
Well, the big thing with along the, I don't want to say the lies, but what Tyler's talking about with the NCAA, I think one of the things I heard that they officially came back and said that, you know, the biggest thing is that this is about education, not about money. Well, that's real easy to say when you're making millions and billions of dollars when these kids can't do anything about it. I mean, real. The NCAA says that's what it was. The NCAA said their number one goal is the education of these kids. Bullshit! Their number one goal is to make money. They don't care if the kids
flunk.
Well,
no, the kids are getting educated. They're getting educated on how to get screwed in the ass because it's going to happen when you get it at all because they continue on this fantasy that it's about an education when, like I said, for most of them, or at least the poor kids, it's not about an education. It's about trying to get to the NFL. That's all it's about. Probably the first thing they do is they grab their checkbook and stuck that, like, what? We're not making money. Not us, sorry. And they probably scream, education, education, because that sounds like a simplistic argument. It's the same thing that the NRA does whenever someone says, well, we got to look at the guns. No, 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 revolution, constitution, Second Amendment, blah, 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 blah. It's those simplistic arguments over something that's not that simple.
Tyler said it couldn't hurt to ask, and obviously, in more legal issues, it's not going to get resolved anytime soon because they'll make a state, you know, the state court will make a decision, and then it'll be taken, or whatever, the local court will make a decision, they'll take it to the state court, and they'll take it to the federal court, because, you know, if you get a decision you don't like, you just appeal it, it doesn't really matter if it was the right decision or not. So, what does this ultimately go to? Because I think, as a lot of people are alluding to, because this conversation about stipends is now getting more and more prevalent and happening more rapidly, really, does this get the ball rolling? Because a lot of people seem to think that the big decision for college athletes getting paid is just finally when the five power conferences or four power conferences, however you want to define power conferences, just finally tell the NCAA, we're going to do things our own way.
It seems like the Big Ten are the closest to doing that. They're actively thinking about doing it, telling the NCAA to screw off because it seems like Emmer's going to do what he wants to do. And what I see is the players want to say, we're tired of you guys making all these decisions done making you telling us what to do. How dare the NCAA try to tell all these players what they should be doing, where they should be going? A lot of it is BS, and it's ridiculous. how much the NCAA has control over a lot of things that they really shouldn't have control over, and they're tired of a bunch of people who are just in it for the money meeting in a room to decide the fates of everybody.
Well, that was one of the things too. They said the biggest thing is that the unionization is to get the players a seat at the table so they can have a say. But Pops, has come to be known with these sports. I think the biggest reason that this has gained traction is because the rules the NCAA operates are for a time that is outdated with all the media, with all the money, with all the advertising. The rules were not made with this kind of exposure and stuff in mind. I feel like you're going to agree with me at least on that there needs to be some modification here somewhere, whether it's a stipend or the NCAA just needs to flat out change the rules where, okay, players can make money off their likeness. We'll leave it at that or something
like
that.
No, it's like, it's a lot like people who wants to quote the Second Amendment about the right for guns. You know, that was like 250 years ago, yeah, approximately, when British were forcing us to quarter soldiers in our house. But yet people want to argue something, but yet they turn around when it's inconvenient to say, no, we need a modern interpretation. But when it fits their needs, no, we need to go with what it says. We're the same. Americans are the same people that look at the Bible and say that we want to read the Bible, that it forbids gay marriage, you know. But then we go look at governments like Iran, who takes the Quran and rule and has a government based on that, and say, no, you can't do that. You're radical. You're fundamentalist. You're an Islamic radical terrorist. But we can do it, yeah, because we're still trying this bullshit of outlawing gay marriage.
Yeah.
You know, and when we got a budget in a country going to hell in a handbasket, can't let the gays get married because they're going to really fuck this country up. It's the same thing with the NCAA. Those rules were written 60 years ago. They don't apply anymore because all of a sudden TV, ESPN, Fox, all those big jerk-offs are the one that dictates the schedule because they want to say, well, we want to put LSU on at, you know, 6 o'clock out here on Thursday night, and so we put them on. They don't give a fuck. If they gave a shit about the kids' education, they wouldn't make them travel as much as they did. But that's the biggest phony baloney bunch of bullshit that is going on. The NCAA is so fraudulent, it's a joke. But I would say it's almost getting to the point of, like, I'm probably spraying to all fields on here, but it's like the American dream. Do you honestly believe that the American dream is alive right now in this country?
No, it
isn't.
It doesn't exist.
It's bullshit. It's all complete bullshit. The same thing with these NCAA. But that's all they have. They're like a chronic liar who, if they started going straight, their whole world would crumble down. So the only thing they got to hold
more
on to
lies
is these NCAA or things or these rule bylaws, and it just keeps pounding education, education, education. They are getting educated. It's just to learn how to grab your ankle and take it up the ass.
Any last thoughts on that, Tyler?
I don't know if I would curse so much, but yeah, I agree just about with all that.
So, Pops, really, what do you think's going to... I mean, back to what I kind of started as I got the ball rolling and you took two. Is really this going to be... Because they're obviously... The courts and all the appeals are going to push this decision off. I would think the power conferences are going to split from the NCAA and say, this is how we want to do it, so you can either change the rules or we're going to form our own thing. Because really, the power conferences and those smaller schools, it's not fair. Because, you know, even Purdue makes $20 million just on the Big Ten alone. And then you have schools like the small Division I schools who literally have to go to Ohio State and lose by 70 points so they can fund sports programs. Those guys probably shouldn't be playing in the same division.
No, there is a thought that I've heard this week that the NCAA, whichever goon they're going to send to the Roger Goodell, will say, look, schmuck, we're basically your minor leagues. I mean, let's face it, SEC, Pac-10... the Big Ten, the ACC, those guys, when they're drafted, they're pretty much ready to play football, all right? It's the same thing with those conferences and sending guys to the NBA. They're the minor leagues of that, at least specifically, but for the NFL, it's even more so because there is no minor leagues.
No,
so there is a thought that the NCAA, because they're afraid to give up anything, because they don't want to give any of their money up, will go to Goodell and say, come on, numbnuts, we need a little bit of money here because, you know, we're going to have to pay some money. We're broke. We're a non-for-profit. It's all about education. We don't have the money. You got to help us. And it's all crap. Okay, but, you know, and Goodell's got probably people from left, right, and center wanting money now, you know. There's the people who don't like what's going on with the refereeing. There's obviously the concussion issue, even though he's trying to spin it as much as he can and said, we've come to an agreement, and the judge is just trying to make sure it's fair. Got news for you there, buddy boy, it isn't. You're screwing the players again.
Yeah.
And the NCAA will probably be knocking on Goodell's door and say, Roger, we need to talk to you, and we're going to need some money.
Tyler, any thoughts on that before we wrap it up, the minor league thing or the, how the power conferences really shouldn't be playing with, you know, Grambling or those small schools, because some of those schools have to go lose by 70
points.
If
you do that, Ohio State will not be able to play anybody in pre-Big Ten. I mean, because you're taking all Ohio State's patsies away.
When's the last time Ohio State played a decent team that wasn't in a small school that finished with like 8 or so wins in non-conference?
You know, they didn't have 4 homecoming opponents in pre-Big Ten, plus a fifth one during the Big Ten. But I mean, Ohio State usually has 5 homecomings. The first 4 are the pre-Big Ten, and then they have whoever actually comes in, like Indiana or Purdue, to play in the Big Ten. They played USC a few years ago. No, it was Texas one. They had to go to one of those two. USC. That was before Lane Kiffin was really exposed as being another jerk-off who probably will have a job forever in the NCAA because he's another crook and a corrupt bastard.
I think he took care of it.
That's going to do it this week. That may be an interesting topic that may get tackled several times, because obviously there's a lot of information that needs to be sorted through, and there's a lot of decisions that are going to be waited on. 3sportsguns.com, the About page, has the QR scanner. You can find all the podcasts available on iTunes for free. The Twitter handle is Take the Pitch, the triple option on Facebook. 3sportsguns for the articles. Keep an eye out for those. And that's going to do it this week. So for the triple option, I'm Blair Gunther.
Tyler Gunther.
This is Mike Emmerich, and I just want to let you know, we're trying to educate your children. I'm not making any money. Please help us.
Watch out for the pitch.